Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Detroit Sports Sit Down. My name is Tom Murphy Jr. And ladies and gentlemen, I do not have Dan and Joel with me today. I have Emily, Rachel, and Michelle because it is the Mother's Day special. It's Mother's Day coming up. You sports moms today. And first of all, what an honor to have these ladies on the show. And what a nice break from getting away from Dan and Joe. Those guys get annoying sometimes, so it's really good to have a break from them. But to be serious, we are doing something special today. I do have, like I said, I got Michelle, Rachel, and Emily. All three of these ladies are raising children in, well, children, kids, teenage, whatever, in youth sports. And so they know what it is to the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, but the joy and the pride, all everything that goes with being a youth sports mom, we're gonna talk about today. So you guys, this is a very, very special episode, and I'm just so happy to be a part of this and bringing this to the Detroit Sports Sit Down, podcast. Because I don't know, it means so much to me. All right, you guys, because I grew up playing sports, a whole bunch of them, and my mom was a youth sports mom. And she sacrificed, and she was at all the games, and she just going back through life, you start you when you have these memories, it means so much. So to like to me personally, and to so many other people that were raised in sports. And we're gonna really get into a whole bunch of topics today about youth sports and like raising kids in sports. So I'm just so excited. All right. I know I'm a little I don't know if I'm nervous or what. I'm excited. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for this episode. It's a little different than something I've ever done. I'm a little nervous to not have Dan and Joe, but and have three different co-hosts with me. I don't know, you guys aren't even guests. You're co like we're because this is our show, ladies. This is our show today. We the mothers, the youth sports moms are taking over Detroit Sports Sit Down, and I couldn't be happier. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Detroit Sports Sit Down Mother's Day Edition. Okay, so Emily, Rachel, Michelle, hello.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Okay. Oh man, we have so many things to talk about. What I really want to like, how I want to start off with, and I'm gonna start with you, Michelle. Like, okay, well, I guess let me introduce everybody a bit. Okay, Michelle is she's raised two boys in youth sports. Ryan, who has recently graduated high school. Tyler, who is what do you call it? A rising junior. He's going into his junior year, I think, right? Or yeah, so so he's right in the thick of the high school sports right now. And then we got Emily, whose son Jordan is 11 and football player. Pretty darn good football player too, and we're gonna get into that. And then we have Rachel, whose son Evan, 12 years old, really, really good baseball player. And it's what I love about Evan is I've watched this kid like through pictures on Facebook fall in love with sports. Like from like I saw pictures of Rachel and Evan like at Tiger games when the kid was like 2 years old, and it just kept getting better and better as the years go by. So I've seen like the growth of the kid just loving sports. So all three of you have and continue to raise kids in sports. So I want to answer. Okay. So what I'm gonna start with this question. I want all three of you to answer, and it's gonna be okay. So this podcast, it's gonna be different because I want to ask all three of you every question and all that, but I definitely want to get into some discussion mode too, right? So I'm curious about how it's gonna go, but I think we're gonna do just fine. But I'm gonna start. Well, I'm gonna start with Rachel. Okay, Rachel, how much were you into sports before you had a child compared to tonight, where your time frame got a little different because Evan's game got postponed and because of the rain, there was a rain delay, and today you got to, sit and watch his game. And where is that now from before to now? Where was your sports passion lied, and how much did or how much has Evan being an athlete changed your love of sports?
I've always been really into sports. Even when I was younger, I grew up playing softball and basketball in grade school. And my family has always loved sports. I grew up in Detroit, so we went to a lot of Tigers games. We went to a lot of hockey games. My uncle had a suite at the Palace, so we went to a lot of basketball games. Didn't really go to football games. That just wasn't our thing. So I grew up with a love of sports on my mom's side and my dad's side. And I mean, the difference with him is I really is enjoying seeing him play and love what he's doing. He loves baseball. That's his passion, but he loves pretty much any sport that involves a ball. So he does play rec league soccer in the fall and he plays basketball in the winter. He's played hockey before, just with his friends that also play hockey. It's just like a pickup game. And he just loves sports in general. But what's different is, obviously having to go to his games. Like that's not something I was having to do. I got to go whenever I wanted, but now it's, his schedule rules all.
Yeah. What about you, Emily? What's kind of your sports history, and how much has Jordan and being so involved in sports changed your perception or your enjoyment in the sports world in general?
I mean, it's completely changed my life. So growing up, I played soccer in high school. And I loved it. I love soccer still to this day. Get a soccer ball, kick it around all day. But outside of that, as far as like watching sports, I really only watched sports when it was like an event. Like, okay, the Super Bowl will go. I didn't really keep up with, I mean, I knew who all the big names were, but I never like I couldn't tell you who, what was going on in any sport, any particular. And once I had him, he immediately was obsessed with basketball. That was the first thing he was obsessed with. Yeah. His name was Jordan, but that's
Yeah,
he
gotta
just
go.
loved.
Yeah.
He just been the, that was his first thing he that caught his eye, And I remember going to my niece's basketball games, and he would like come home and like change his clothes into basketball shorts and like just be one. I'm a basketball player now, but his first sport was actually soccer. So I signed him up for Little Kickers, he's 4 years, 3 or 4 years old. And then he joined their kindergarten team at his charter school and he got the MVP award. So he was actually really good at soccer too. He's actually really good at all the sports, but football is the main one. But so soccer, and then I signed him up for basketball. And I think I recorded a video of that when I told him I signed him up for basketball because he just like jumped up and down. Like he was so excited. And then pretty much from there, he then. I football was not on my radar. I didn't couldn't care less about football. Came to me one day like, "Mom, I want to play football." And I'm like, "What? Okay, like here we go." So then that was it from there. So now he pretty much we focus on football, but he runs track. Track is pretty much for football. That's the reason we run track, but he's starting to love track a lot more. Like he got in the car after practice today and was like, "Mama, Coach said I'm going to be the next track star. There was I guess the fastest girl on their team. He's like, I beat her." And then he's always, so he's starting to get, he's just competitive. So like
Yeah.
excited about, now he's getting excited about track and then basketball. He still plays basketball. He has a game right now every Saturday. So it's just kind of like, it went from like nothing to 0 to 100 with the sports. Like
Yeah.
I, to where like nothing. And I would go to like my nieces and nephews games and stuff and that kind of stuff, but I never, like, this is my whole life. Like whole life. Literally, I don't do anything but work and do sport stuff. So kind of cool. You know, it's, there's worse things that your life can revolve around, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
All
I
right,
love it.
Michelle. Now I know. Okay. All right, Michelle, being my sister, full disclosure here, I know a little bit more about her sports history because she comes from a direct sports family. My sister pretty much didn't have any choice but to be a sports, or at least know a little bit about it, But Michelle, like for you personally though, I mean, obviously you grew up with brothers and stuff that are playing sports, but when they were actually your kids playing sports, how much did that change for you?
So, growing up, actually, I was very much into football. I loved football. And hockey was my passion. So growing up, when all the other girls had New Kids on the Block posters, I had Steve Yzerman. I absolutely loved hockey. But then once I had kids, especially Ryan started T-ball real early and he loved it. So from then on, I grew a passion for baseball and we watched baseball any chance we got. We went to baseball games. We watched, the minors play. We went to all different stadiums and then just watching his love for it and him knowing exactly what to do on certain plays was just amazing. But I think even more for me was watching the way he handled himself when things weren't going well or when, the team was having a hard time. I loved how confident he was and how encouraging he was. So that was nice. And then with Tyler, he got really into soccer. So I watched soccer. You guys played soccer. I didn't really understand soccer, but I'm learning a lot more now. So that's how that's changed me.
That's awesome. All right, so I want to get right into some of the negatives. All right, let's get to some of these out of the way. Like how you guys are in the stands, right? And everybody knows, like you hear about soccer moms, hockey parents are pretty wild. Football parents can get nuts. Like every sport can get pretty crazy. But you guys are probably seen a lot. So all right, Emily, I'll start with you on this one. How do you get around when like parents are a little too much? Like, do you ever find yourself having to like say, hey, they're just kids? Or is it like, man, actually, I understand why they're crazy because this is my kid and they're
Yeah.
playing these sports.
I mean, I could tell you a million stories. Like there have been fights at games. Like for example, my best friend's son's state championship game last season that just ended. There was a whole like as soon as the game's over, there was a whole the whole field was like a big brawl, like of people. So I mean, that kind of stuff is like it's just emotions are high. You have to realize like people are passionate about this stuff because it's their kids. Like they it's your kid. So like of course I'm gonna care about, but I'm on the sideline for all his games. I don't sit on the stands. I'm on the staff actually. So I'm on the sidelines and I just let the head coach. If it's something about our team, I'll let him handle that because he's pretty good at, that kind of stuff. Just mediating and I try not to lose kids because, it's preseason right now. We're gonna probably lose some kids over like playing time and like touching the ball, ball touches and stuff. And just one of those things. I try to get them back, and I try to be like the peacemaker, I guess you can say. But because you have to realize, like I said, it's people's kids at the end of the day. Like that's why they're mad. You have to understand that the reason why they're mad is because it's their kid. So I try to keep an open mind and just, but no, there's been crazy, crazy parents come in and out. I had a parent, kid left our team, went to another team, And then he's spouting off on the internet and to everybody that'll listen about how their teams were so much better than ours and they're gonna kick our butt when they play us and all this and that. And then come to find out that team was cheating. They had a 12-year-old, they had an 11-year-old on their team. We were 10-U last year. So long story short, yada yada yada. I call the dad on some like, I'm sorry that happened to you guys. Like that sucks. Like I'm sorry. He ended up, long story short, he ended up like threatening me because I was defending my head coach for. My head coach was saying some things. He ends up threatening me, saying he was gonna bring a gun up. So if I bring a gun up to y'all's game tomorrow, what y'all gonna do? Something like that, like crazy. Like, so I told, I texted the, I have the owner, the owner of the league. I texted him. I texted the girl that works for him. Said, listen, this is what's happening. He's threatening like people because people. But again, people get crazy over their kids. So I get it. But no, you can't threaten. You know what I'm saying? So I've had things like that. There's another crazy, crazy dad that will just go off. And it's just like, you can just go. Like, just get out of here, you know? It's not that serious.
Yeah. Michelle, I know this is a topic that you kind of want to touch on because he, like I said, you've been kind of in this for a long, long time. You've seen a lot too. So like when you're in the stands and there's some other parents and they're just obnoxious, when is it time to step up and say something versus just letting it go?
I have learned it's never a good idea to say anything anymore. It really isn't. I will give a nasty look, but I don't say anything anymore. What really frustrates me though is watching the parents get angry at their kids, yelling at their own kids for missing a catch or for not kicking the ball right, things like that. They're little. I mean, you know, they're just growing up. They don't need to be yelled at because they didn't kick the ball. And it also makes me angry when the parents are screaming and yelling at the refs or the umpires about calls. You know, everybody gets into the game, and I understand that. You get mad, you swear your son was safe. But after you've initially said, no, he was safe, it's done. We don't need to go screaming and yelling and have the game stopped. And honestly, that's why we have such a shortage of umps and referees because nobody wants to do the job anymore. And I will add one more thing. They were really short on umps for the rec league. So my, at the time, 14-year-old wanted to be an ump. They make, you know, decent amount of money for 2 hours. He was umping U10. So this is where the pitchers are just learning how to pitch. There's no good way to have a strike zone. It has to be way big, right? And the wife of the coach was screaming at my son. Because he wasn't making the right calls. And she did this to him. I'll meet you in the parking lot. And she wasn't kidding. The only good thing, though, was I was there. I could protect him. And we did take it up. And that coach is no longer a coach anymore. But my son was 14. Your kids are 9 and 10 or, you know, 8 and 9, whatever the age is there. Why are you screaming at the ump? You know, it's just, and if you've ever been to one of those games, you know, these kids are just learning how to pitch. They're not going to the MLB tomorrow. So there's no need to get upset. So those are the kind of things that bother me, but you know, it's not worth getting into a fight with another parent about any of it.
Rachel, what kind of things are you seeing on the sidelines at Evans games that just are kind of bothering you or that just shouldn't be going on that maybe you could change? Like, are you finding yourself like voicing your opinions at games, or are you like my or like Michelle now, where you're just like, you know what? I'd rather kind of just leave it alone.
I hate confrontation. So I'm not one to say anything, but we've been really lucky, honestly. Like we haven't encountered too much, crazy parents on either side. I don't know if, I mean, I know we've had young umps like that, and I'm always like, oh, I hope that there's no crazy parents. And I know there's not on our team, which I'm really lucky with the group that we have of not only the kids but the parents on our team. But I'm always concerned about what the other teams are going to be like. But they've been actually pretty good overall. 2 years ago, we went to Tennessee, and there was, you know, some rowdier teams from other states. But overall, the tournaments that we've done and the games that we've played here in Michigan, it's been okay. I'm curious to see how it gets as he gets older and then starts playing in high school, where there's a greater mix of people and not just, like he's been on the same travel team. This is his third year. And so, like I don't have my like just group of parents that I know are gonna quote unquote behave. Aren't gonna cause a ruckus.
So hi, all right, so Rachel, like with that said, how serious do you get with it? Like I said, you don't like confrontation, but you're in there, like you're watching your kid. He's traveling around, he's taking it serious, he's got a passion for it now. And you're probably seeing that he's probably got a talent for it. And if this talent is like cultivated a certain way, who knows where it could lead to. At what point when with you, he's 12 years old, how much are you supposed to push him at this point?
I don't have to push him. He pushes himself, honestly. Like he wants to practice all the time. Tonight we left and it was raining and it was like sprinkling. And he was like, I hope it stays either just sprinkling or just stops overall because I need to play baseball tonight. Like it was funny. And there's no prompting for me. I'm not going to push him. If he is not enjoying something or doesn't want to do it, I'm not going to make him do it. I've seen parents who have done that, especially when he was younger, and I'm like, these poor kids, they're not enjoying it at all. But he wants to practice here at home. He makes me play wiffle ball with him all the time, even though he kicks my butt every time. But he enjoys, I mean, he has practice 4 to 5 days a week. And he never really complains about going. There's some days he's tired. And I will let him stay home, but it's very few and far between. But yeah, especially during the school year. And he started middle school this year, so that added a new layer of,
It's what it is. It starts to get to be a lot. Like Emily, now I gotta lie. I'm gonna say I do remember. Like I said, we've been Facebook friends for a long, long time. I do remember like one post where you're like, "Oh my God, this kid just loves to sleep." He don't even. I don't even think he wants to go to practice today. I think he was rather lay in bed. But you know how much he loves sports. But at what point are like, oh my God, okay, this kid is just 11. Maybe I should let him skip practice today and just lay in bed and take a nap.
I have
At what point do you have to be like, look, you got to instill some like life, like some like, I don't even know, like characteristics or whatever it is. Like, hey, you can't be
discipline.
lazy. You got to go to practice. You got a commitment, da 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 da. But at the same time, you're an 11-year-old kid.
So for me, I more so try to judge it situationally. Like I'll take a look at what's, the past couple of days, and if we've had a busy weekend and then it's like a Monday and he needs a break. I'm really rare to give him a break, but if he falls asleep after school and I can't wake him up, I'm like, he needs it. He needs to sleep. Like I'm not gonna but And then most of the time I have to like, he likes to not feel good a lot when it's time to go to track. 'Cause like I said, he's real competitive. And like today, when he was leaving track, he was super like, but when we were going, he was not feeling it. 'Cause track is not exciting when it's not football. You know what I'm saying? It's just going to run. So, I just have to kind of judge each situation, and look at it. But most of the time I just make him go like, sorry, you're going. But if, like I said, if it's a situation where I can tell, like we've had, or you didn't, I know you didn't sleep good last night, or whatever it is that we've had, I'll let him take. I believe in rest days, and that's, but we get, like, usually we're off. Sometimes we're off. We used to be off Mondays. So it's usually like that break in between. But I just try to just judge each situation and try to see, like, if I feel like he really needs it off, I'll definitely give him the day off.
What about you, Michelle? Like, how would you deal with your boys when there were days where they just didn't want to do it, or maybe it was time? Like, 'cause I wonder, like, what if it is time to quit a sport? Like, what if it's just, oh, they didn't make starter, so now they just want to quit. Like, at what point is it like a life lesson versus, you know what, the kid really doesn't like it. Like, let's let him quit. Like, There's got to, obviously there's a balance there. You know, where is it at with you?
So I haven't had to deal with that. Maybe they'll have one bad game and, Ty'll say, I don't like soccer anymore. But then as soon as the next day comes, he's ready to go to practice. So I've really not had to deal with that. But if they really did come to me and say they really didn't want to play a sport, then I would have them finish out the season, and then they do it the following season.
I'll
Yeah.
probably
So
change his mind. I'll probably change his mind at the next season.
yeah.
Yeah. Same thing here. Like when he like he had a, we had a bad game on Sunday because he actually got hurt before right before the games. We were leaving. He's like, I hate this team. I don't want to. And I'm just like, you're not gonna feel it. Like you'll get over it. You just, I don't know.
Let them vent, and then the next day
Yeah.
they'll be over at it.
Yep.
And how hard, or like Rachel, for you, like with Evan, like how hard would they be if he just had a bad day, or it could be something else. Like maybe he's got a best friend on the team, and they got in a fight, and now all of a sudden, he's dealing with some 11-year-old stuff, Like, and all of a sudden he comes home, and he's like, I don't want to play baseball no more. How would you react with that? Like, how could you get down to the actual issue? Where it's probably not the fact that he just fell out of love with baseball all of a sudden. It's probably something that he doesn't really want to talk about, but he's 11, so he probably doesn't even know how to express his emotions yet. You know what I'm saying? How would you, or how have you dealt with something like that?
He actually had a rough end of the game today, and he was really upset. He came in to pitch the last inning, and it didn't end up working out well. And he's been pitching really well lately. So he is a kid that needs to not talk about it right away. So we'll probably talk about it tomorrow, and he's just you gotta leave him alone. Not all kids are like that. Some kids want to talk about it right away. He is not that child. So, I mean, I can't imagine he would ever come home and something catastrophic would have to happen for him to say, I don't want to play baseball anymore. But I mean, we'd have to sit down and talk about it, and think about it realistically, whether that's something that he would want to do or not. And
Yeah.
like your sister said, like I would not do it right away. Like we'd have to finish out the season or, and then reassess after that.
You
Yeah.
had a really good point, though, about the car ride home. When the kids were younger, I would always talk about the game as soon as they got into the car. Then I realized they don't want that. They need to process if they had a bad game. They'll come to you and they'll talk to you when they're ready. That's another thing that I learned that I was doing wrong in the beginning.
Yeah, and if it's a great game, he'll talk the whole way home.
We let them lead the discussion.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure. And even if it's not a game where he did particularly well, if his team did well, he will want to chat about every part of it.
Yeah.
So, ladies, we talked about like obnoxious parents and stuff, and well, we haven't really talked about coaches. Have anybody who's really had a situation could chime in first, but has anybody ever had to deal with like a bad coach? And if so, how do you deal with that? And what is dealing with a bad coach versus a coach that's just trying to do his best? And where should a parent step in and say, look, man, you're not coaching my kid right? Is there someone that wants to raise their hand first on this one?
I'll start. So for us, we haven't had bad coaches. So we're lucky about that. But we've had some instances where we weren't happy with the coach's decision, maybe. It depends on the age of the child, I believe. The child and the coach should actually have that conversation first. Parents, I don't feel, should get involved too much in that. And definitely one thing Dan taught me was the 24-hour rule, and that works so well. So if something happens in a game and you're upset, wait 24 hours. And if you're still upset, then send an email.
Emily, have you had? I know you say you're on the staff right now, so you probably can't say too much. But have you had instances where you just weren't getting along with the coach, or you weren't happy with the way your kid was being coached? And if so, like how do you deal with that?
First bad coach. I've been with the same. He's been on with the same staff for football since he was six.
Okay, so
And
there's a history there.
we've definitely butted heads before. Me and the head coach, we had our, I've quit like a couple times, and and I don't even remember. Just not even nothing about the game. It's just like he might have been mean to me or something, whatever. But we have. Well, there's one coach that actually just left our team, and I wouldn't say he's a bad coach. I just don't like maybe like his personality and how he talks to the kids, stuff like that. Or, I really just kind of just try to ignore that kind of stuff. Nothing I can do about it.
But again, I mean, not to cut you off, but like in that situation, it is your kid. So if you don't like the way your kid is being talked to or the way your kid is being coached, you have two options: pull them off the team, or suck it up and deal with it. Well, I guess three, or talk to them and see. So
There's no
this.
talking to this guy. There's no talking to him. He's just gonna be like, oh, I don't care. Which he's gone now, so it's fine. But
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily anything. It's just people's energy. Sometimes the energy is just a bad, bad energy.
Yeah.
And I just, like I said, just learn to deal with that person the only way you can. And but no, we actually have a really good coaching staff. So I can't even, but again, it's football. So, football coaches, it's not always nice,
No, it
So
can't be. Yeah, it can't.
they
But even
can
with
be.
all sports, you can't just baby these
So
kids.
I
And especially
cannot.
these days, you got like oh my God, we're in this era where, okay, I came up in the 90s where like you don't get water breaks, like when you say that, like think about the 50s and 60s and stuff, like oh you jumped off sides, you don't get water, da 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 da. Those things are different now, and God help you if you had a mental health problem when I was growing up in sports, but now you so and people get canceled, and we got this cancel culture where one parent says one email, the coach can get fired out, like for some like this like it's in so it's so touchy and so in, kind of insane right now. But y'all seem like normal sports moms, but you still have to see that, like if you don't like the direction that your kid is being coached, you got to do something. You can't just continue to let that go, right? Like,
Totally. No, I like I'm good with the coaching. I'm good with the coaching. His head coach is a very good, he's not football knowledge is like he's a very good coach. We last year we went through a little bit of a, I don't know if you want to call them growing pains. So after the year before that, we lost a few kids. There was all this drama, a few kids left. And then the word on the street was we weren't going to be anything because those two kids left. And then just like, but we, he rebuilt that team and switched everything to be centered around just different. He just, the way his mind works is just like crazy, but he's just a really good coach. So I haven't really had to deal with bad coaching work on that aspect because as far as football goes, we don't really lose football games, at least in the state. We actually lost our first season game last season, which was very devastating. But I mean, it's great coaching. I can't even be that. And then we've added some pieces this year. We've added Brian Marshall, we've added Mark, and we've added Will, which is he they're all high school coaches. So my head coach is basically I'm getting them ready for high school now. Okay, they're 11 now. We have 3 more years of Little League. Get them ready for high school. So they're teaching them
That's
things that
awesome.
getting them ready for high school. So it's really amazing. It's a great coaching staff. It's really
So,
great.
Rachel, when it comes to Evan, have you had to deal with any friction with coaches? And if so, how did you handle that situation? Or even have you just seen things from like other teams where it's like maybe a coach on another team is just being ridiculous? And have you seen something where you thought maybe, oh my God, I might have to step in because nobody's really stepped ridiculous because we're talking about 11 and 12-year-olds here.
I have not. We've been really lucky. We've always had really good coaches. To be fair, the coaches that we've had, whether it was in Little League or now on his travel team, they're dads of kids on the team too. Not that that always makes a difference. But I do have a friend who recently I was texting with her. She just pulled her son off of his travel team because the coach was horrible. And he's a dad of one of the players. And he was verbally and mentally abusive to the boys. For example, they won a tournament. I don't know if it was last weekend or the weekend before. And I guess his like speech afterwards was basically telling the kids that he could cut any of them at any time.
So
And
why, like, why do you even think that would be? Like how, like, I don't understand the mentality.
don't
Like,
you
do these, they get like this God complex somewhere. They think they're, you know, sparking insulin, like this great coach, but they're just, he's coaching children. We're gonna go win, you know, everything, and I'm gonna do this that,
Sometimes I'm having a
into
kid
the
on
major
my hands.
leagues, you know, like, bro,
Sometimes
you're
I'm having a kid sometimes makes it worse, I feel like. Not to interrupt you, I'm sorry. But like like I've seen that too, where they're just more emotional about it because they do have a kid on the team. So like they might show favoritism or the opposite. So if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah,
Yeah, I've seen
wait, so
that. So I've most of the like coaches I know are dads and like they either have to be harder on their kids so that doesn't look like they're taking it easy on their kid and there's that whole aspect of it, or they're, you know, daddy, they call it daddy ball. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's like a, but yeah, daddy ball is like showing your kid, and my kid's the quarterback. Meanwhile, he's like 300-pound linebacker, but the quarterback, like, you know, just stuff like that, I guess.
that is, that's been there. And you guys, I'm telling you, look, I'm 44 years old, right? That stuff was happening when I was a kid, man. I can remember it. I can remember being 8 years old and coach's kid just sucked, but he was shortstop or he was quarterback or, you know, whatever it may be.
We're
And
losing
it was
every
just
day.
forced in there. And the kid didn't want to be there because he knew he wasn't that good. Like, right? It's just, so that stuff, I think that started at the beginning of time, and I think it's going to happen till the end of time, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what it is. Like, you have to, that's why it's so important to have your kid on a team.
Yeah.
Common sense, right? And it sounds like you all have been pretty lucky, at least with that. Okay, I want to switch gears pretty swiftly here. And I'll start, all right. It's definitely going to hit you hard, Emily, because I want to talk about safety in sports. But man, it goes into all sports, man, because you can get hit in the face with a baseball. You can break your leg in football. I broke my ankle in soccer. It was the worst pain I ever felt in my life. So when people say soccer players aren't tough, man, because I used to play soccer like I was a middle linebacker. You know, so like, so with all these sports, like, you can get hurt doing anything, right? Football specifically, but any sport, right? So where do the safety concerns come in? And I want to start with Michelle and Rachel. I kind of want to let you in this, Emily, because football is still, especially with youth football, it's really, they're really talking about like changing some certain rules and such. Like, even all the way up to the NFL, they're talking about like
They
these rule
already changed
changes.
something, I've heard. Yeah.
Oh
Technically.
yeah. But so let me start with Michelle here. Growing up, you know, with the kids, what were your safety concerns, and how difficult is it, on the sidelines watching your kid play and seeing something happen, like he gets hit in the face with a baseball, or he twists an ankle running the bases, or, you know, whatever it may be. Where are the safety concerns, and how much is it like having a kid in youth sports? What is the risk versus reward when it comes to like safety?
So I think with the sports we're talking about, I'm not as worried as I would be if my boys. But with baseball, Tyler started when he was, and they get hit in the face ball. He ended up needing to go to the hospital, and they thought he broke his jaw. Luckily, he did. But that was very scary. And I was scared to let him play again. And still now, even when a fly ball comes at him, I do tense up because I'm afraid he's going to not catch it. Now he does, but It's still very scary. And then with soccer, kind of the same thing as you were talking about, worry about goals or a kid trying to fly kick, but the umps are really good, or the referees are really good about controlling the players that are trying to play dirty. So I don't worry so much about it as I would if I were Emily.
Now, Rachel, like, yeah, so with Evan, and I see like you share some videos, and he's got some competitive fire. Like, I love the way he slides it at third base. He gets so this kid's gonna play hard. So you're gonna see him sliding in hard. You're gonna see him going after fly balls. You're gonna see him stay in there when a fastball's coming at his face, you know. Where does the concern come from you, where you know you want him to play, you know you want him to be competitive, but you're his mom. You don't want him to get hurt. It's like, what?
Yeah, and he's a ball magnet. I don't, he gets hit more than any other kid on the team. I don't know if it's because he bats lefty. He's small. Maybe he's crowding the plate. I don't know. But he gets hit more than anyone else. So he wears a football padded shirt underneath his jersey every game. He sometimes wears it even to practice because he's gotten hit at practice too. Luckily, he takes everything in stride. If he really only gets upset if he's really truly hurt, like he has been really truly hurt maybe a handful of times. We're also very lucky that one of the his teammates, his dad is a doctor and his mom's a nurse. So when he has gotten hurt, they check him out for us on the field. Obviously, if it was very serious, like last year, while he was warming up, he got hit in the chin with a ball and his tooth went through his lip, right before the game. And I thought I was going to have to call an ambulance, but luckily it just got stuck and he was okay. But
Did he
I
play the
thought
game?
he ended up batting.
I love it. I love it.
I
So
don't,
funny.
I think, and I don't remember why he ended up like not just sitting on the bench the whole time. I don't remember if we were short a couple kids or what, but he did
More in
end
the
up,
hospital.
he ended up going to the hospital. The bleeding stopped. We gave him some Tylenol and he was okay. We put ice on it. But he's a tough kid and not because we make him be, he just naturally, I don't know. He
Yeah.
just wants to keep playing. He's had some other things too, but obviously, if he was really injured, we would take him right away.
So, all right, Emily, I'm going to you here. Now, look, I grew up
Oh.
playing football. My mother, as much as I love her, as much as a sports mom she was, she wouldn't let me play football till 8th grade until me and my dad finally like stood up to her. Like,
Convinced her, yeah.
we're playing football.
Put
Like,
down.
we're playing. Now,
That's
what it is, because it's the most dangerous freaking thing in the world, I
just
think, you
dangerous,
know?
and he wants to
Like,
box too. He just told me that
oh, now he
whenever
wants to box?
he
Yeah,
watched that, what's that? Is it a Creed movie that was like 6 months ago or so? Just maybe a year or so. I don't know. Creed 3, maybe. Does that sound
oh,
familiar?
Creed.
I don't
Oh,
watch
well,
him.
Creed. Yeah, I mean, that's an extension of the Rocky movies or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah, but
the
he
big
watched
boxing
whatever
movie.
that one was with Michael B. Jordan, I think
Yeah,
was in
that's what it is. Yeah, it was Rocky, and then it turned into Creed, and Creed, because. Long story short, with that, Rocky used to be best friends, but he also fought Apollo Creed. Now,
it.
Michael B. Jordan in these new movies is Apollo Creed's kid. And so, but yeah, they're super huge, super popular movies, but they're basically the
Okay.
Rocky movies extended now to.
Gotcha. So, okay.
But
So
yeah,
he
so
watched
yeah,
that
it
movie
makes sense that he
and he
loves
came
him.
home and said, "Mom, I want to box." And I
I
was
want
like,
to get punched in the head every day a bunch of times.
"No, you already played one dangerous sport and I'm not doing it." So I shut that down.
So,
But
okay,
I
now
don't
I
really have
see
a good answer. I don't really have a good answer for
I know
like,
you're not gonna, but the answer has to be, I guess it's just yes, is that you know all the stuff, all the
terrified.
statistics, all the getting smoked in the head all day long,
Yes.
but it's still
So
football. It's the
it's
greatest
still
sport in
football. It's
America. It's the
what
greatest
else is
sport in
there
the
to live
world.
for?
Football is
What
the
else?
best thing.
If we didn't have football in our life, I don't know what we'd be doing. Like I would get off work and we don't, what would we be doing? Like that's our whole life. So it's hard to put into words like
Like, okay, so when you said there was a dad and mom, doctor, nurse, it's funny because I laugh because my dad's actually a neurologist of all things. So
That's
you can imagine
How does
those
he feel about your
conversations.
son playing?
Exactly.
Exactly. So you can imagine those
No,
conversations,
how does
but
it? You got it. How does he feel about it? What
he
has your
I,
dad
Jordan's
said?
not allowed to play football. He's not allowed to. He's my dad said no, he can't play football. And I said, I'm 38 years old. I mean, when I had him, I was 20, but like, no, like I was like, well, we're gonna do it anyway. So I don't know what to tell you. And then my mom was also a nurse too, which is funny, but rest in peace. But she, yeah, they just, it's just one of those things where you know the risks and he knows the risks and he's been hurt before. He got sacked real bad in one of our games last year. And like, we don't know if he had a concussion, but he was out the game for about half the game. And just, it's just one of those things. You just take all the precautions you can. Like when he got hurt on Sunday, like, made me want he'd never play ever again, but then like now he's good and now I'm like, do I need to put a because how he got hurt, it was during so it wasn't real football, it's 7-on-7 football. So if you know anything about that, there's no
Yeah,
equipment,
no
no
linemen, no pads. It's almost like flag football
line,
kind
you
of,
throw
and
from the 40-yard line, you start at the 40-yard line, you march your way down, you score, you don't, like whatever. So but they're warming up. It wasn't even in the game. They were warming up. Last play of the warm up, like they were calling them to come line up to play, and he collides heads with a kid. And I didn't see the collision, but I was standing over there, so and I saw him fall to the ground. And like he was like writhing in pain on the ground, crying his heart out. And I'm like, so now I'm like, well, you're never playing football ever again. But then he actually played, so he was okay. Like he was okay. Like they started a different kid, and then he ended up going in, so it ended up being okay. And went took him to the ER after, and he has no signs of concussion or anything. So it's just like I sit every day and monitor him type of thing. But that's something I so I'm very very nice to my old lineman, offensive lineman. That's one thing. That's what I do. Anything they want. Yes, you want to come to my house for a sleepover? Yes, like whatever you need, like. What else can you do? It's one of those things you just
Well,
take all
and this is what I'm
the
saying, Emily. So, like, okay, so, and with Jordan, the truth is, he is very, very good, right? He's got some real talent. There's some like potential there where you've already have like adults in the know. We don't have to get too into it, but you
Yeah.
have adults in the know telling you that your kid has some serious talent.
Yeah.
And so this, it sounds like it is the path to something that can be incredibly special.
Yeah.
But at what point is it like, oh my God, he's too hurt to do this. He now has he what if he did have a concussion, and what if he gets another one? Now you're t like I, like how many concussions can you get in your teen years
Right.
before you can't even go play college football
Right.
because you got smoked around in youth football, and
Yeah.
you're the mom. It, you're like you're his main because everybody around him, they want to protect him too, but they're also thinking football. You're
Yeah.
his mom. Like you got to think about his life.
That's true. And it's terrifying. I'm telling you, it's terrifying. I don't have a good answer. It's terrifying. I don't like I believe Michelle that said it earlier, like you hope you're making the right decisions. I'm the most indecisive person on the planet. Like I can't decide what to eat for dinner, like most of the time. Like it's terrible. So you just I have people in my life that I go to for guidance, questions and it can be little or small stuff like anything. Should I send him to this camp or whatever, but at the end of the day, that's all he wants to do. So you just take all the, like I said, you just gotta hope you're making the right
And
choice.
that's what it is. And I'm telling you guys, all of it, like sport, like I said, you can get hurt. And I got hurt way worse in soccer than I ever did in football. Just because
Yeah.
I busted my ankle. Like that's
I
just
was gonna
how
say
it was. Like,
he's gotten hurt worse throwing the ball with his friends in the backyard than
yeah.
so.
And
It's
football,
pretty.
everybody knows football's king. But I mean, sports are great and everything, but football's king. And that's
Football.
why I really get discouraged when people are like, "Oh, we gotta eliminate youth footballer. We gotta take the pads off of
No
the
way.
kids until they're in high school." You can't do that. They have to
You
learn how
can't
to
do
wear
that.
pads and they have to learn how to
They have
tackle.
to learn how to.
Otherwise,
They
it's
can't
gonna be
even.
worse.
They have to hit in pads for like, what's the, there's a rule in youth football. I think it's either a number of days or a number of hours. Like they can't go out there in pads for the first time. Like you have to have a certain number of hours hitting before you can even, like you can't go to high school in pads for the first time. That's absolutely ridiculous. Like,
Yeah,
yeah.
that sounds insane to me. Or just turning everything into flag football. Like, man, they're trying to do that in the NFL with the quarterbacks already. It's making me mad. But all
Yeah.
right. So okay, I think we all know that there's risk involved for kids playing, right? But it's part of life. There's risk involved in just being alive. What are you gonna do? Sit on the sidelines all day, man? At least your kids are outside playing something instead of sitting on the computer,
On the game. Yep.
Oh man, I knew this was gonna be awesome. Like,
Mm-hmm.
this is awesome. Okay, all right. I don't want to get into like y'all's like financial situations or all, but I think in America we're all a little broke right now, right?
Absolutely.
And these things are getting outrageous. The travel, the fees, the equipment, everything that comes with it. All right, Rachel, I'm gonna start with you on this one. What is the financial commitment like, and how much are you willing to go for when, like, okay, Evan wants the new cleats, but he also wants the new nice bed because his friend on the team's got the new nice bed. At what point do you got to break down and say, look, man, you can't always have this or that? Or it's like, okay, this is the thing he loves. I'm going to splurge a little more on this. But it's getting insane. It's been for years and years and years getting insane. So, like, Rachel, like, do you have to tell him sometimes? Like, look, you can't get this bed. You maybe can't. Maybe we got to get these shoes instead of these ones. How do you break that down?
No, he's actually been pretty good about it. Surprisingly, actually, the person that I need to like tell not to buy something is my husband. He just bought him a new bat like randomly. He saw it was an early birthday present, and I'm like, we asked him if he wanted a new bat, and he said no. So I don't know why you bought him a new bat. But he loves it. I mean, he still loves it. But luckily, no, he's okay with whatever he has, most of the time. He just got a new glove, but my parents got it for him for his birthday. So he's breaking that in. He's still obviously using the glove he has right now, that is broken in, but no, he's pretty good about that stuff. I'm very lucky that I mean, there's kids on his team that have, the newest Bruce Bolt glove, like, batting gloves and the newest bat and everything. But he's happy with, he wants to learn on what he has. So.
Now, Emily, you were saying before that Jordan, he plays like AAU football, so he might travel, he travels around.
Yeah,
Like,
it's not
at what
technically
point have
you,
you ever
but
had to
yeah.
tell him, look, we just can't do this one, that we can't go to this tournament, or we can't do this, and when, like, at what time, like, you got to make decisions, or like how has it been for you trying to like deal with the fact that you can give him these opportunities, you know what I'm saying? But at the same
Yeah.
time, how much is too much? Or sometimes you
So
got to say no.
I pretty much let him go on all the trips. It's just whether or not I'm gonna go, because it's more expensive, way more if I go, because then it's an extra flight. I gotta get a room, a rental car. If I send him with someone, it's way cheaper. So I usually try to just tell him, but there have been maybe one or two trips where I'm like, it's just not worth it. Like we just had a trip to that. So the program he's in, they travel like about every month, but then sometimes like the, so this is the preseason that just ended, but the one before that, His coach on for his level added on a trip in between two of the trips to Vegas. And I let him go, but I sent him, of course. But it's just like sometimes you just have to weigh, like, okay, where are you going? Did we just have a trip? Like, you're good for now. So, and he kind of understands because he actually prefers for me to go. He doesn't love going if I don't go. So he's usually sometimes okay with not going, you know. So I just, you know, just it's just about being honest and realistic with your kid. Like, it's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, to take a trip every month, you know. So I just try to weigh the pros and the cons of like that particular trip. If it's like, you know, if it's gonna be worth it or not, I guess you could say. So, and then as far as like all the he's not like your son, Rachel. He wants everything new all the time. The kid has, if I counted up all the pairs of like receiving gloves, because he's a quarterback, but he likes to play receiver. He had these receiver dreams for a minute, and then like he plays defense too. So he has so many gloves, but he always wants new gloves. He always wants new cleats. He always wants, if I could get him to stop losing this $100 football, I would be so happy. We went to a tournament in New Orleans a couple months ago. And you know these leather footballs are about $100, and then you got to pay someone to break them in, because when you first buy them, they got that orange stuff on the outside. You have to like scrub them, and it gets a whole pro. They charge like $40 to break them in. So when you see that nice leather brown football, that's been broken in. So my biggest thing is like, if you could stop losing that football. So long story short, on this New Orleans trip, he gave the ball to his friend to throw around on the sideline. Wasn't his game, and of course they walked away from it, and then somebody have picked it up. You know, so just one of those things that, and then so I actually made him pay for the football. He had $100 from Christmas that he'd been holding on to, Christmas birthday money that just like he had saved up. And I was like, you're buying yourself a new football. So that was sort of like kind of like the life lesson I tried to teach him about just being realistic about like money and like, you know, you can't have everything you want. You
No
know, it's
doubt.
just not how life works. And you just have to like kind of try to teach them. Like, okay, you know, well, if you want this, then you choose between these two things, because that's real life, you know? So.
But there just has to be this. There's got to be something where it's like, man, this is money well spent.
Yes,
For
it
these
is.
kids, right? To give them these experiences that are just incredible, you know? Like, Rachel, I want to ask you about, like, speaking of, like, could you talk about a little bit about how Evan got to, like, meet Miggy and go to the Miggy camp? I think Miguel
Sure.
Cabrera, one of the greatest baseball players of all time, and he, so the pictures and the videos, they're just so dang cool. How did you get that the experience for him? And does he even realize how big of that experience that was? And was there a cost to that? I'm not even sure exactly how that went down. Could you just kind of explain that?
Sure. So I follow Miggy on Instagram. And I also follow his foundation, the Miguel Cabrera Foundation. And I don't know if they still do it, but they did Miggy Ball. They would do it in Venezuela and in Miami. And they had never done it in Detroit. Well, in 2018, they did it after the Tiger season had ended. So this was end of September, first day of October for the second day. And I people are shocked every time I tell them it was $30. And
Wow.
it's
Wow.
like,
That's actually
so
insane.
I know. So I signed him up for the first day. There was two sessions. It was limited to 100 kids per session. It was down at the ballpark that is where Tiger Stadium used to be,
The corner ballpark.
the
Yeah, we
Pale
have games.
ballpark.
Games there all the
Which
time.
is beautiful. They've done amazing with it. So he went to his session. They did stations. They had to rotate through, and they earned points. And they were split up by age group. So he was, how old was he? 8 at the time. And so he was in an 8-year-old group, and he earned enough points. We found out at the end of the day, or at the end of the evening,
they posted on their social media like the kids, the names of the kids that made it to the second day. And the second day was when Miggy was there. And
Oh, wow.
so
That's
he
cool.
made it. And the stations were like pitching, fielding, batting. There was something else. I don't remember. Oh, running to first base. And so the next day, Miggy was there with his whole like staff. His wife was there too. It was a cold, kind of gross evening in Michigan. It was October 1st. And he and his wife stayed the whole time. Miggy went out. It was the year that he got his elbow surgery. So he hadn't actually really been playing. So he was in town and he rotated through the different stations. So like the photos I have of him watching Evan hit off the tee, that was when he was just happened to be at that station when Evan's group was there. And then I have other photos. I just haven't really edited it, but I have them. I just haven't shared them. And then after all that was done and they were calculating points for that night, Miggy signed and took pictures with any kid that was there. He signed everything they brought to him, baseballs, their t-shirts, their hats. He took that picture. That picture I took was I was underneath the bleachers shooting through a net, and he turned around and he picked Evan up, and I was like dying. I couldn't
I
believe
know. I was too. I actually,
it.
I absolutely love that picture of it.
I was like, I was like, oh my God, what is happening? But they stayed the whole time. All those kids got a backpack. They got a wood bat. The kids that won the competitions in each age group got something. I don't remember what it was. Evan didn't win because his age group for that day was 8 to 9 year olds. So all the 9 year olds won whatever it was for that night. But yeah, it was fantastic. I was really impressed with everything. The whole staff that was there, they're all so nice. They work so well with the kids. I can't say enough positive things about the
Do
experience.
they do that like every, do they do that regularly or is that, was it like a one-time thing?
They
Do you
haven't
know?
done it since.
They haven't. Okay.
No. And
That's
I don't
awesome.
know that he's done it even in Miami or Venezuela either. I
Okay.
haven't seen anything posted. I see his foundation is doing stuff. I know, like they do things around the city. And they do things down in Miami and they, provide baseball gear for the kids in Venezuela and other things too. He does his foundation. I think they do a lot for the communities that they're in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Man, that is so cool.
Yeah. It was great.
I think my sister's having some technical difficulties
Yeah.
here. She keeps going in and out. So I was trying to like keep things going too, because I'm down to pretty much the last question. So, oh, okay, this shit, she's going in and out. Michelle, you there?
He's connecting.
Yeah,
He's like,
she's trying to get it. All right, because the last thing I really want to get, because we talked about the financials and all that. We talked about pretty much all of this, right? And if the thing I want, okay, Michelle, you there?
hear me?
Yes.
I can't see like I was earlier, but
Oh, that's fine. That's
we
fine.
can't see you
'Cause
either.
yeah, so basically, yeah, we can't see you, but we can hear you now. Because I want to, because we're talking about the financial aspects and like how difficult that can be. But look, your kids played a bunch of sports. It was super expensive, so we can move on from that. What I want to do, Michelle, I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
Because I already, again, you're my sister, so I already pretty much understand how this question is gonna go. But how has youth sports created a bond with your kids? Like, how has being in that world, in that realm with your kids, seeing the highs and the lows and sacrificing financially and sacrificing your time to watch your kids grow and play these sports, like how had just talk about what the bond of youth sports has done for you and your boys.
For me, it's been amazing to watch both of the boys play baseball together. In the backyard, they'll play catch, or they'll the older one will help the younger one bat and things like that. It's really amazing to watch. But even cooler was when they were able to be on the same rec team. That was absolutely amazing to watch both my boys doing what they loved together, and the encouragement that they gave each other, the high fives, it just made my mama heart so happy. It was just amazing. And I am so grateful that we had that opportunity. But again, they do kind of, you should have caught that ball, or you should have swung at that ball. They do kind of bicker and all that, but it's really in good fun. So their bond has been really, really improved because of sports.
So yeah, I don't know. I ain't gonna lie, I saw that too. Because I did really enjoy seeing those two get to play. Because you're right, when you got that, because I'm the older brother to Dan, and to my brother, obviously, and or our brother, I guess. But like I know, because we didn't have our age gap was like 7 years, so we have sports. We were never able to play on the same team together. So getting to see like the boys play on that same team together, you're right. It was super cool.
That's really cool.
Emily, how has the bond with you and Jordan grown because of football, and especially with like traveling with him, and so you're getting to go like around the country playing football. So you're not only just like seeing him play football, but you're getting to go to like different states and like probably do different things while you're in these different states. How has that made you and Jordan's bond stronger?
Funny, I always make the joke. Well, I've made the joke before, like, God knew that I needed him because I would probably never leave my house if it wasn't for him, or the state, because I just like to be at home. I was like, he then I think I said one time, I was like, oh, I hate traveling, and God was like, give her a traveling football player. Like, you know how you say those, you see those memes or whatever? But like, that's my best friend. Like, that's my guy. Like, we sit and talk about football. We sit and talk about all the gossip that's going on in the little league world, and like, he'll be like, mama, this kid went over here, because that's a big thing, like transfer portal, a little league, like kids moving, because they, we just, that's all we like. It's just, it's amazing. It's, I don't know what else we would talk about. We didn't, I mean, no, we talk about other stuff. Of course, I'm, exaggerating, but that's definitely our bond right there.
That's
That's my
awesome.
guy. Yeah.
And Rachel, I'm gonna let you in this because I know, like I said, man, like you guys, I see you guys have baseball games together, and I see the passion in his eyes of the love of baseball, but I see it in your eyes too. Like you guys just you love doing this together. So like, can you just kind of like bring us home, Rachel, and just say like how has like sports. Specifically baseball, not just watching him play, but you guys going to Tiger games together and such. Like, how has that brought you and your boy closer together?
I mean, going to sporting events is like our thing. I think that that's just what we enjoy doing. He is the most fun person to go to a sporting event with. It doesn't have to
Really?
be baseball. It can be hockey, soccer. He's been to one football game. He was like three, but he still was so in. He gets so into it.
Not to cut you off, but it's time to start getting him to Lions games.
Well, he's been to one Lions game when he was, I know, but let's talk about expensive.
it is. So I've actually been
Yeah.
to more baseball games than football games, for sure. He got to go to a Packers game. Not to cut you. You don't. I'm sorry. Did I cut you off?
No, you're fine.
No. He got
It
to
is
go.
okay, Emily. I'm gonna cut you up because I did see though, because he
Oh
got to be Aaron Jones, man. Like, yeah, I
yeah.
saw those. He was in a suite with the Packers. That was insane.
So I just actually pulled that video up when I was getting ready for the podcast, and I was looking through my stuff. Like, I have a video of, well, I have a picture of him with Aaron Jones. So Aaron and Al, I think his brother's name is Alvin. So a couple of the guys that he met when he was six, they got him into that Some Mind Somebody program that I was telling you about. But they're kind of like, I guess they know somebody. I guess they're friends with either Aaron or Alvin. I can't remember. But anyway, long story short, I get a call one day, like, what's Quick Six doing this weekend? I'm like, nothing. Maybe he has a basketball game or something, like, he can miss. So they took him. They went to, where did they go? Went to Chicago for, did you go to the Bulls game? Went to Chicago for a Bulls game, and then they went to wherever Green Bay is. Wisconsin.
Lambeau Field.
I had a brain. Freeze.
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
They had a little road trip, then they went to Wisconsin. So they were in the suite with the coaches. Yep. I've got a video of them all doing. So they have, they have like,
you
a secret handshake.
I saw the picture.
I'm gonna send it to you if you want to put
kid.
It. But
just like you, Rachel. You know, your kid. Like, oh my god, meet Miggy on it.
Yeah,
but yeah, yeah. So
just the connection, just not to cut you off. I'm sorry, but like the connections that he's making, and like just because of sports, like because of football, like it's just you can't even wrap your head around it. Like people he's meeting, he's got like people that he's known from little league that are now in college playing college ball, might go to the league. Like it's just like crazy. Like
yeah,
it's just amazing.
Yeah, so Rachel, like I said, if you could bring us home with this, like you're getting a goal, because I do. I see you guys. Yeah, and this kid, okay, I want to say this. My dream, I'm 44 years old. I started going to baseball games, I think, when I was 4. So I think it's 40 years of going to baseball games, right? Never caught on myself. Never got a ball. I just recently had to go to freaking Cleveland on a bachelor party with some friends of mine and stood by the bullpen and had a pitcher throw me a ball. And I lost my freaking mind. Right? Finally got one. Your kid's got, what, 10 of them? You know, something?
Oh, no,
something?
He has way more than that.
Golly!
He gets one almost every game we go to. But to be fair, we get there when the gates open. He has perfected where to stand during batting practice to get a ball.
Oh.
There was one season where we got there and there was no batting practice because it had rained. And he still got a ball from an usher who came up and asked him who he was rooting for. And he said the Tigers. He's like, here's a ball. I was like, are you kidding me? I never got balls either. And I went to tons of games.
Yeah, too.
I was sitting in center field at Tiger Stadium, but
12-year-old man, like 12-year-old.
No, he has gotten. Yeah, I don't know how many balls he's gotten. I'll be honest; he uses them. He unless it's there's certain balls he has not. He does not use. There's
one save like a souvenir,
yeah. There's one. He one time we got there and the pitchers were warming up and he got a ball, and Gregory Soto came over and signed it. So like that one's. Obviously, he's not playing with that. He caught
My God.
Last season.
Gregory Soto was an all-star.
Yes. Yep. I actually, I took his family photos one year. But,
really?
Yeah. But there was last year, Akil Badu hit a home run off of the foul pole.
Badu.
And it came back on the field, so the ball boy got it, and we were sitting right there, and the ball boy gave it to Evan. So he has that one. He's hoping to one day get it signed by Badu.
Hey, all you gotta do, dude, you just go down, just take a little trip down to Toledo.
No, we need to go down there. That's what I told him. We need to go down to Toledo.
I bet he would love that because it is like, on that same trip where I got my Cleveland ball, we took a stop in Toledo and we saw Riley Green was still down there in Toledo. So I got to see Riley Green like in Toledo. So that was super cool. But man, that's awesome.
But,
all right, you guys. All right. I could do this for another 4 hours, to be honest with you ladies, but I think this is a good place to stop. But if you would just indulge me for a minute, I would like to wish all you ladies a happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And on behalf of all the young male athletes who needed sports moms in their lives, I want to say thank you. And I want to say thank you to all those moms out there who are not neurotic, who are not crazy, and who are not using their child as some type of meal ticket or something like that. They're just trying to raise young, respectful athletes. And that's why I'm telling you, I was so happy because I just know, I've known you, Rachel, I've known you, Emily, I've known Michelle. You ladies are doing it right. Right? It ain't easy. It ain't easy financially. It ain't easy mentally. It's just not easy at all. There's nothing easy about raising a young athlete. It's nothing. So I just thank you. I thank you for being on the show. I thank you, but mostly this whole show, I ain't gonna lie to you, ladies. It's all about mama. So I want to take this moment here to thank my mom, who raised two athletes. One, me, I played every sport I could, and I regret nothing about it. I am so glad that I was raised playing sports, and I'm so glad that I had a like when things were good, I could look over, like if I scored a goal or I made a good tackle, I could look over and my mom was in the stands, you know? When things went hard, man, when I got beat, like when I made a bad, like I didn't make the save, you know, I was a goalie, or I didn't make the tackle as a linebacker, you know, whatever it was, I didn't make the catch, or like, you know, my mom was still there. She was still there. And you know, she, like it's just when you look back in life, like it, as an athlete who didn't make it past high school, but you realize how much sports meant to you, you know, to me growing up, and to have a mom that, man, we went everywhere, like I played travel soccer, like we were Tuesday night driving 45 minutes in the middle of traffic for a soccer game that's going to last an hour and a half. So you're driving an hour and a half to a game, play it for an hour, and then you got to drive an hour and a half back. Like, I'm not thinking nothing of it, man. I'm not thinking about gas money, and I'm not thinking about how much those cleats cost. I'm not thinking about the time that my mother's taking out, you know. I'm thinking about the game, and that's it. My mother had to think about all those things. And, I just, oh man, it's amazing. It's amazing when I think back about all that she did for me. And every time she was in those stands, and every time we went to the you know, whatever store it was. I think back then it was you know, the Sports Authority or Dunham's or, you know, wherever it was, man, just got buying those, because every couple months you got to go get a new pair of something, if it's cleats or a glove or some shin guards. Because again, like when you play all these different sports, and ladies, for you now, it's got to be even, like I said, it's even crazier, man, all this equipment. And you don't realize that when you're a kid, you don't. But sitting back, and then especially after talking to you ladies now, you know, like you just, so I just want to say to Sharon Murphy, you know, my mother, my ultimate sports mom, I just want to say thank you. I want to say happy Mother's Day, and I want to say I love you, and I want to say thank you for everything you did for me growing up playing sports, because it was the best. I love playing sports. And she went through it all, you know. She seen it all. She seen me excel. She seen me fail. She seen me get hurt. She seen me hurt other people. You know, she seen me getting fights on the field. You know, like she saw it all, you know. And she was always there for me. So she is. So happy Mother's Day to my mom, Sharon Murphy. You know, my ultimate sports mom. But Rachel, Emily, Michelle, you are some ultimate sports moms too, and that's why I'm so glad we got to do this show together. Michelle, I'm gonna let you start the final thoughts here. So Michelle, if you could just start your final thought about being a youth sports mom.
I'll make it real brief. It's all worth it.
Emily, what are your thoughts about being a youth sports mom?
It's definitely hard. But like Michelle said, it's definitely worth it. I couldn't see myself doing anything else. And make those sacrifices and, just pour everything into him, and it's like she said, it's all worth it. So you just got to take the good of the bad, the ups and downs, and just know that everything's happening the way it's supposed to be happening. So.
Rachel, I'm gonna let you bring us home here.
Well,
What do
I
you
don't know what I can add to that. It is definitely worth it, and it's an interesting ride. And I think as long as your child is enjoying it, then stay on the ride. But if they're not, it's okay to find a different path.
Yeah. Ah, that's awesome. All right,
Have a
well.
backup plan for sure.
Yeah, there's always like learning and stuff too, you don't have to be an athlete. You can like do math or be an electrician or
He
something,
loves math. Rudy loves
but
math.
what fun is that, man? Like,
Well, you know what? It's funny that you said that when you were
sports.
talking about bonds and stuff, and it's like the way his mind works, like math, I was teaching him football math, if that makes sense. So it's everything. I was teaching him area and perimeter, and I was using a football field to explain it. And that's the only way he understood it. So it's like one of those things, like it's worth it, and it's like it's just takes over your whole life.
No
So
doubt about it. Well, ladies, again, I can't thank you enough for this. What a show. What a show. This is everything I hoped it would be.
good.
All right, so for Michelle, Emily, and Rachel, I just want to say to all the mothers out there, but to all the sports moms especially, I want to say happy Mother's Day. You deserve this. This is your day. But keep raising them kids in sports because we need it. We need kids playing sports because
Character building for sure. Yep.
exactly. And we need kids to play these pro sports because what are we gonna do if we can't take them to baseball games or football games? Man, I need, especially now, man.
Exactly. We need you in 10 years.
Keep sports alive. And we will, and we will. And with moms like you three, we're gonna be just fine.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I want to give a shout out to Dan and Joe who could not be here today because they are not sports moms and they don't even know I'm doing it. They're gonna get surprised by this one, man. I'm gonna shock them with this one even. So, man, I'm super excited with myself right now, man, because I've been thinking about this episode for a long, long time and I pulled it off. Thanks to you ladies, I was able to pull it off. So,
Awesome.
I'm happy. All
Thank you
right,
for
everybody. Again, happy Mother's Day for Michelle, for Emily, for Rachel, for Ryan, for Tyler, for Jordan, for Evan, for all the youth kids out there that are playing sports, for all the youth moms, just keep doing it. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. This is
Thank
the
you.
Detroit Sports Sit Down. Peace.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye, thanks.